Hello there, boxing fans around the world. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And we've got a bit to talk about with respect to the Ryan Garcia-Devin Haney fight that we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. And I thought I would not only recap the fight very briefly, but mainly the chatter that's surrounding it. But let me start off with a quick little story I found out of Tokyo via our friend Joe Kazumi. And he's writing about a young boxer who's quite frankly following in the footsteps of the monster Noyama Inoue. And here's his story. Hayato Tsutsumi is his name. And basically the boxing commission over in Japan, the JBC, just a day prior to the Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia fight, announced to suspend WBC number 8, WBA number 10, featherweight Hayato Tsutsumi, who's undefeated, okay, for 6 months from April 16th, that was a weigh-in day, because he failed to make the contracted 126-pound, no less than 3.5 pounds. Also, Tsutsumi was fined 20% of his purse due to his violation of JBC's rules and regulations. Hayato, to keep it short, fought, but after the fight explained that he suffered a fever caused by coronavirus, an infection while traveling in Las Vegas on March 26. And after he came home from Vegas, couldn't train very well and eventually had difficulty making weight. So, I mean, this guy's a bright prospect. He had 13 national championships and prior to his entry into the pro ranks, and now has somewhat of a dark reputation over in Japan, as I said, for someone who's following in the footsteps of the monster Inoue. I just want to bring that to your attention because of all the shenanigans that did lead up to the fight between Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. There's no way to make this long story short, but I'll try to keep it encapsulated because there are many stories that kind of roll into one, and the one being the victory by Ryan Garcia, very dominant, decisive victory. But prior to that victory, apparently, he had been drinking every night, proudly telling everyone in the world, his millions, anywhere from 10 million to 18 million is what I'm reading. Social media followers, 18 million of them, letting them know that he'd been drinking every night prior to the fight. And now also he'd gotten engaged to a porn star, you know. So his path to his victory was, shall we say, quite unorthodox, given the very heated discussions he was having with Devin Haney himself. Nonetheless, entering the ring, his ring walk, unbelievably, he was wearing a crown with over 15,000 diamonds, worth several million bucks for sure. Nonetheless, even though this is the whole point of this, me leading with this Japanese story, he weighed in over 3 pounds. Okay. Now, a lot of people will say, who cares? It's just 3 pounds. Okay. And as we all know, as I reported, he paid off Devin Haney for every pound that he came in overweight. Okay. And therefore was not able to claim the super lightweight belt after his victory. Devin Haney being able to keep it. And so it'll be interesting to see whether he fights his mandatory Sandor Martin later on. Anyway, let's move along to the actual fight itself. Prior to, as I said, Ryan Garcia was saying and doing some pretty peculiar things. For example, he was saying the children needed to be saved from sex trafficking, among other atrocities. He mentioned the 4.8 magnitude earthquake that struck New York City just a mere 2 weeks ago. Odd. This is and predicted possibly one in Los Angeles, and echoed many popular conspiracy theories along the way, and openly discussed drug use, and disregarded those who said he was out of line. So a lot of people questioned, quite frankly, his mental state going into this and whether he should fight at all, poor fella, they were saying. So this is what Garcia said. People just expect me to be some robot And when I shoot on them, I'm not a robot. Then they get shocked and scared. I like to use my platform to speak about important things. And what better time to do it than when a lot of eyes are on me? So his behavior led to questions regarding his actual readiness to challenge Haney, who was undefeated at the time, 31-0. Now he's 31-1 for that WBC Junior Welterweight Championship that took place in Brooklyn. For those questions that were answered when he failed to make weight, as I said, therefore he was not able to win the title. Especially in wake of losing to Gervonta Davis. So anyway, he was an underdog of huge proportions going into this fight, okay? And yet he won. So that came as a massive surprise to many. So among the people who are betting, I'm glad I'm not a betting man. But you know, if you put a few bucks down on him, you would have made quite a few bucks with that victory. And it surprised an awful lot, not just the bettors, but the so-called professionals out there. For example, let me just quote my good friend Eddie Hearn. "Wow, this sport never ceases to amaze me," he said. "Hats off to Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, heart of a lion, what a fight." Okay, Shakur Stevenson has to say, "Much respect to Ryan Garcia. I'm keeping my word. I'm giving you my respect. Now keep your word and let's make it happen, my guy. Beautiful performance." So I guess Shakur is looking for a fight. Clarissa Shields chimed in. "Wow, congrats, Ryan Garcia. You proved all of us wrong." 100%. "Definitely earned it," she said. Gervonta Davis weighed in. "Forget Devin. Where Bill at? Where Dirt at?" Okay. Caleb Plant, "Hell of a fight. Tony Harrison, Ryan faked our dumb asses out." Jamel Herring, "Got to give credit where it's due. Ryan fought his ass off, probably one of his best performances, but man, he missed out on being a champion with that black eye at the weigh-in. But it is what it is." Joseph Diaz, "Boxing world just got more spicy." King Callum Walsh, "That's the power of losing your mind." Yordinis Yukas, "Wow, great fight, Haney Ryan." So there you go. A lot of pundits quite surprised. One of the analysts, Chris Ogilvie, had this to say with respect to Haney losing. He noted that the pressure was definitely put on Haney to fight in a rather entertaining manner. His last pay-per-view fight against Regis Progress on DAZN had done poorly, and tickets weren't selling for this fight against Ryan. And he'd been criticized by fans on social media for being a boring fighter with no power. With all that in mind, Haney decided to punch with Ryan rather than play it safe, like he'd done against Progress, Vasily Lomachenko, and George Kambosos Jr. Haney had no choice, and the results showed that he was not equipped to brawl with power punchers like Ryan. Said Algieri, "I said leading up to this fight that Ryan's path to victory was to try and get Haney to trade with him. He didn't have to get Haney to trade with him. Haney chose to trade with him. I don't know if his ego, bravado, or if they just underestimated Ryan, but it's the wrong game plan, and it showed. The way that Ryan fought, Haney would have had a tough time if he boxed because he'd been trapped and forced into slugging for survival. All the clinching that Haney did gave Ryan a chance to hit him with short punches, and that's how he knocked him down in the seventh. Haney," he said, "was boxing great in the second, third rounds. Ryan always blamed his weight for his performance in the tank fight, and it makes me think that I can believe him now," said Algieri. So if you compare the photos of Ryan's physical appearance against Tank to his fight against Haney, it's like two different people. Ryan looked emaciated and sickly against Tank, whereas against Haney, he was muscular and strong. He learned from that fight to this fight and said, "Why would I make the weight and be weak? Tonight, he showed great poise, explosiveness, and a gas tank. He poured it on late in the fight," said Algieri. So there you go. Some good technical analysis, I suppose, on how Haney managed to lose the fight to Garcia. So what's next for Ryan Garcia? We're going to see a rematch with Devin Haney? Maybe. Doubt it, because Garcia has expressed an interest in, quite frankly, moving up in weight classes. And if it would, if it were to happen, a rematch would likely be at that 147 limit. Potentially a Gervonta Davis rematch. Probably now would be quite highly profitable and attract significant interest. Gervonta's 27 knockouts, but he's set to take on Frank Martin in a lightweight bout. So he'd have to jump up two weight classes. But promoter Oscar De La Hoya did suggest a fight at 144 or 145 catchweight. Remains to be seen whether that fight's going to happen. He has a stablemate, as Garcia has a stablemate in Alexis Roca. Given Garcia's intention to move up to welterweight, a bout against Alexis Roca, who's 24-2, by the way, no slouch, could make sense. Both are with Golden Boy, as I said, and operate at 147. Making this should be straightforward. Also help Garcia test the waters at welterweight before going after division's elite. This may not be the most lucrative fight, but it does require minimal hassle to make. Other names out there being bantered about. Teofimo Lopez. Now, he's already said, show me the money. And I think he was shown $1.5 million, so he turned that down. So we don't really think Teofimo is going to be in the mix. But one guy who would, as they say, and this was on the Bleacher Report, as I'm scanning the internet for various stories, this one was a good one. What would break the internet? Garcia versus Jake Paul. I'll let you chew on that one for a bit. All right. Have a look at the undercard here. As reported by Ring Magazine, Joseph Santolucrito. He said that if there are any nerves prior to the Garcia-Haney fight, Charles Conwell hit them well. He walked into his dressing room bowels of Barclays Center on Saturday afternoon with an easy demeanor, as calm as he could be. If you're any more relaxed, he would have been asleep. It had been 16 months going back to November 26, 2022, since Conwell, the former U.S. Olympian, was in the ring throwing fists for money. And on Saturday night on that undercard at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, Conwell, who's 19-0, by the way, 14 knockouts, snapped his inactive spell with a six-round stoppage win over tough veteran Nathaniel Gallimore, who's 22-8-1, by the way. So some... There was some other fights that did take place on a pretty good card. David Jimenez took the WBA interim junior bantam title. Let's have a quick read here. It was John Scrappy Ramirez who's carrying the flashy torch. Larger hair than himself, carrying the hype train, but it was David Jimenez who wound up winning on substance, taking the interim WBA interim junior bantamweight title by unanimous decision, 117-111 on two scorecards, 116-112 on the other. Bakhtimir Melikuziev, who we mentioned last week, going up against Pierre Dibombe, and he handed him his first loss. Southpaw super middleweight, Melikuziev, he's 14-1, notch possibly his biggest victory to date, handing Pierre Dibombe 22-1-1, 12 knockouts, his first loss on a unanimous 8-round technical decision victory by scores of 79-73 and 78-74 in a Schedule 10 rounder. Yeah. The ringside doctor had to, by the way, put an end to that fight due to a pretty decent bleed. Nonetheless, through six, Melikuziev outlanded Dibombe 62-49. Melikuziev had a strong overwhelming seventh, where he's all over Dibombe. He landed a nice one too and had Dibombe backing up. As the fighters were about to begin the eighth, referee Ricky Gonzalez called for the ringside doctor to take a look at a cut above Melikuziev's eye, which was caused by an accidental headbutt. The ringside doctor opted to stop it and go with the scorecards. Arnold Barboza Jr. just got by Sean McComb. Barboza Jr.'s confidence was so high that they wore a 13-0 on the back of their shirts in the corner before number 8, 140-pound contender, faced lanky Irish southpaw Sean McComb. Barboza Jr. wanted to serve notice to the 140-pound division that he is belt hunting this year, but this was not the way to do it. Barboza Jr., 30-0, won a 10-round split decision over McComb, 18-2, winning 97-93, 96-94, and two scorecards overruling the Juan Macomb 98-92 card. So Macomb, by the way, he entered the fight on a seven-fight winning streak. He did start well, but obviously it didn't end well for him. In the last round, Macomb once again kept Barboza away, connecting each time. The previously undefeated junior welterweight neared. Macomb did not allow Barboza Jr. to find a rhythm, prevented Barboza Jr. from setting up. A spattering of boos came from the crowd as Macomb jabbed his way to frustrate Barboza Jr. and end the fight. All right. So what's up next? During the post-fight press conference, Garcia revealed he'll campaign at welterweight moving forward. He weighed in, as we all know, at 143 ahead of the December knockout win over Oscar Duarte in Houston. Their bout was marketed as a WBA gold 140-pound title fight. The contracted weight was adjusted just before the weigh-in. While Garcia picked up the biggest win of his career in a major upset over Devin Haney, he remains without a major title. Haney still holds the WBC title. He won when he dethroned Regis Progress last December 9th in San Francisco, and he's expected to next defend against mandatory challenger Sandor Martin, 42-3, a 30-year-old southpaw from Spain. So where they both head? Who knows? That's the world of boxing, eh? Because everyone had Haney winning that fight hands down, given the madness that Garcia showed. But nonetheless, Garcia showed he was merely fooling the media and all the pundits on way to his victory. Let's go full circle here and back up in Japan for the final story of the episode. IBF super flyweight champ Fernando Martinez will meet WBA champion Kazuto Aoka on July 7th in Tokyo. And a press conference was held to announce the fight at the stadium in Tokyo. And it's an attractive meeting of 115-pound champs with 35-year-old four-division champion Aoka, 31-2-1, by the way, 16 knockouts, set for the second defense of his title, and Martinez making the third defense of his. The Argentine turned pro in 2017 and 16-0, coming off an 11th-round stoppage of Jade Borneo last June in Minneapolis. Aoka, who turned pro in 2009, has claimed titles at strawweight, junior flyweight, and junior bantamweight. He fought to a draw against Joshua Franco at the end of 2022 in an attempt to unify at junior bantam, but won a rematch 6 months later after Franco had failed to make weight. Aoka stopped Josber Perez in 7 rounds his last fight New Year's Eve, and Aoka Martinez takes place a week after John Francisco Estrada defends his WBC title against Jesse Bam Rodriguez, a fight to take place June 29th at Footprint Center in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, there you go, fight fans. Thanks for joining me here on Talking Fight. Appreciate it very much. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and we'll see you again on talkingfight.com for another episode of the news. It goes live at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Cheers.